Book of Daniel, third chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Third chapter, we're going to start reading at verse number 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let us pray. Father, again, I do want to thank you for your grace and your mercy, your kindness, your goodness. Thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Once again, thank you for the folk who come, made their way here tonight, Lord, to be here in these services. Thank you for our master's clubs, Lord, and for the young people there and those that are working with them. I pray, God, your power, your wisdom be there. And certainly in this services, I pray for those who have special need tonight. Lord, we certainly do need you to help us physically and spiritually. And Father, with wisdom we need to make decisions that we need to make, I ask you for that. Tonight, Lord, this preacher needs your power. I need your wisdom, and I ask you for it, Lord. And you know all the things that I need tonight, and I ask you for that. And I just ask that you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Nebuchadnezzar said in verse number 15, at the end of the verse, he said, Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar, it doesn't sound like the same fellow he sounded like 20 years before this, when Daniel had interpreted the dream, not only given the dream, but it interpreted the dream. Oh, we find that over in the second chapter, verse number 46, he says, Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Isn't it interesting what 20 years will do? You know, I don't believe at this point there are some people who believe that somewhere along the line that Nebuchadnezzar became a saved person, that he's in heaven. I do not know that. I cannot state that. I do not believe he was saved back here in chapter 2. Some believe he was saved and turned to God, but I don't know that he ever practiced the blood atonement and those type of things that that the Jewish people practice. Some people believe he was saved. I don't know whether he was saved or not. But I feel comfortable he certainly wasn't a saved man here, but he just began to believe because of the interpretation of the dream. He began to believe that Daniel had done a great thing. And now we find him 20 years later, just the opposite. He's gone back to his old worship of gods. And I think it's really interesting, it is to me, what time can do. Time can do a lot of things. Time shows up a lot of things. It takes time sometimes to just take care of things. Sometimes it helps us. Time will mellow us. Time will build us and help us to be better for God than we've ever been before. It takes time to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. But also time sometimes proves what an individual truly is. That is true, and it just takes time sometimes, and it's kind of hard because you notice people that goes through crises in life. A lot of times when they go through those crises, they certainly seem to turn to God and walk with the Lord and have a real desire to do what God wants them to do and are very seemingly thankful for what the Lord has done in their life, and yet time goes by. And the crisis passes, and sometimes they just forget, or whatever it may be, they don't no longer walk with God. It's interesting to see what time does to individuals. That's why we need to always be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. We need to just be that all the time. And from day to day and year to year, we need to just keep growing and keep learning. Nebuchadnezzar did not do that. 20 years went by and he was a different person. I think one of the reasons he was because in those days, the old heathens, they believed that, you know, whoever's God won out, if they won a victory, they believed it was because their gods was greater than the other gods. And in between in this 20 years, we know Nebuchadnezzar had attacked and went to Jerusalem once again, at that time carrying golden instruments from the temple. Also, he had taken many more of the Jewish people and back to Babylon. So over those 20 years, he kind of believed that, you know what, then my God's greater than their gods. Because Jerusalem was taken, and he was, like I say, took all those instruments and back to Babylon, took the people back to Babylon, and I think he was thinking, you know what, my God is greater than their God. So he went back to this worshiping his own gods. So anyway, I'm just simply sharing that with you to try to help you to understand. We have a man here all at once now is going the opposite direction again, not worshiping the true and the living God. And I want to share with you, and I want you to look at it in your own life. What does years do? What does time do to you? Does it make you better? Does it make you want to serve God more? I just really believe with all of my heart that as time goes by, we ought to love God more than we've ever loved him early in our Christian life. I just believe we have a lot of reasons to look back on life and say thank God for what God has done for us, not only in salvation, but for all the wonderful things that the Lord has done for us. And you know what? Time ought to build on that and build your spiritual life. It ought to make you better for the Lord than you've ever been. I believe we ought to have more of a desire to serve God today than we had last year. I think that ought to build. We ought never grow tired. I've heard people say before that they never got over their salvation. But I do believe I met some folk who did. Just got over it. Maybe they're saved, but they just got over it. They're not excited about it anymore. There's other things that's taken their interest, and salvation, the things of God, the work of God does not interest them anymore. Time bears things out. Amen. Folks, God's the same today as he was yesterday. And he was the same today. He was the same 20 years ago before Nebuchadnezzar. He was the same. He never changed. He's still God. You see, he's the God that can deliver and certainly does deliver. So what we find here in verse number 16 through 17, we see the response of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we see how they responded to this this fact that they was going to be thrown in a fiery furnace. And it's very interesting here. You know, you look at it and you see that three men here, and I try to boil it down like that, and I try to look at it and I try to understand it. There's three men here against the whole known world. That, I mean, place yourself in that situation. Here you are, there's three of you standing here, and you know that old King Nebuchadnezzar is going to throw you in that furnace. I mean, that's just it. It's done for. He's not going to be embarrassed like he was. He was full of fury. And you think about him as these three men stood there knowing well what was going to happen. Try to place yourself in that situation. And I'll try to place myself in that situation and try to think of what we would do. No friends around. You got three people. Rest of them, I don't know what was happening to all of those that was brought to Babylon. There was a lot of them brought to Babylon. I really don't know at that point what they were doing, but I know they weren't standing. They weren't standing for God. Can we as individuals stand up even when other folk don't? Can we stand even if the majority does not? Because I do believe, and I believe this in my heart, I believe that day's coming. Will this preacher see it? I don't know. I don't know God's timing. But I believe that my children and my grandchildren will see it, and maybe I also will see it. But we're going to have to take some stands. That's not going to be easy to take. Right now, we're not under much persecution. I know it's out there, but we're not under much persecution. Tuesday morning, I got up and I went and voted. I tell you, I voted for Eric Miller. Amen. I don't mind telling you, I voted for Eric Miller. I wanted to see Eric Miller governor of Indiana. And I went and done my job. I voted for him. I done what I should have done. And no one stopped me from that. I went into the polling place there, that voting place, and there wasn't nobody that stopped me. They just went over and helped me vote and showed me what I need to do in them newfangled things that they're using now. And I just went in there and done what it said. And no one stopped me. They let me do that. It's a free country. What a blessed it is. But I'm telling you, we're headed in some directions. I don't believe it's going to be free too much longer, like we want it to be free, like we know it today. You see, and that's dangerous. So what is my grandchildren, or maybe my great-grandchildren, and yours also going to have to face? Time will tell. Time moves on. Now, I'm just saying, it's up to us to stand fast. Now, folks, you stand fast for the sake of your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, and if it should happen, your great-great-grandchildren. Because the time is coming, and right now it's very critical that we stand and we don't bow our knee to the ecumenical crowd, to the false crowd. Well, you've got to be sure we don't do that now, folks, because it's everywhere you look. It's all around us, and they're trying to get us to just to go a little bit, give up, and, lower the banner just a little bit. You lower it a little bit, and I'll guarantee you, you're going to have to lower it a lot more. You're just kidding yourself. You say, don't hurt to let off a little bit here. No, you don't understand. You let off a little and you'll be letting off more. Right. Yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. I've seen it. I've been preaching going on 35 years. I've seen this thing. I've seen people who just started heading off just a little bit. And it was all right. No, they wasn't going to go very far, but they did. And that's the way it always is. You got to stand up high. You got to keep the standard high no matter what. Don't give in. You see, you give in, you're in trouble. So we find old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wasn't going to give in. They just was not going to do it. And no matter what the situation was, they wasn't going to do it. But I'm very thankful that God told us that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. In the midst of a fiery furnace, our wonderful God was right with them. I'm so very thankful that we don't have to fear what men shall do unto us. That's what the scripture says. The Bible says we can boldly say the Lord is our helper. We will not fear what men shall do unto us. The Lord is our helper. The Lord's our helper, folks. Amen. So you don't have to fear what men shall do unto you. Amen. That's what Shadrach and Meshach faced that day. They just come up and they just said, no, we're just not going to do it. We're not going to worship other gods. We're not going to be a part of that. Why? Because the Lord is our helper. I want to read to you, and if you want to turn there, it's fine. But Isaiah, it's just a portion of scripture that's a little bit, you know how you have some little kind of favorite portions of scripture. You just kind of have some things that are just help you along the way and has helped you along the way. And in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter is one of them things. And I know one of those portions of scripture, and I realize and understand he's talking to Israel here. But the principle is still the truth. And so I want to take that principle. Isaiah 43 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Now I know who he's talking to there. I'm aware of that. It says, makes it very plain. But also know I'm his. And he's redeemed me also. And he's redeemed you. If you're saved, he's redeemed you. And he tells him here, he said, don't fear. I want to tell you, there's a lot of things going on in America. And I just want to say to you folks, it could get scary if we would get fearful. But you know, we don't have to fear because we have our great God. And here's what he said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I wondered if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego maybe had just kind of thought about that verse of scripture and said, you know what, the flame's not going to kindle upon us. I know they didn't know for sure what God was going to do, but all I know is this, he didn't say they wouldn't pass through it. He said, I'm just going to be with you when you do. Now, I think that's what we got to remember. We've just got to keep our minds on that God will be with us, you know. We will pass through some waters. We will pass through the rivers and walk us through the fire. We will do that. There'll be times in life, and we don't know what's coming in the future, but it'll be there. But God says, though, that he's going to be with us. Amen? And he's the same God that wrote this here back in Isaiah. He's the very same God. And notice he said, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not. For I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. You know, you can just keep reading there. And as I said, I know who he's writing to. I know he's writing to Israel. But the principles are the same. He loves us, and he loves you, and he loves his people very much. And he's the one's redeemed us. So when you walk through the fires, remember something, your God is with you. That's what he says. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Cannot we claim that? Sure we can. We can claim that because he's our God. He's our Savior. Now, I want to say something to you. When you walk through some fires, probably everybody in here at some time or another has walked through some fires and probably going to walk through some more before it's over with. So just remember, he's the Lord God of Israel. He's the Holy One. He's your Redeemer. He's your Savior. He's the same. Even when all the other group didn't stand up and won't many times, he's still God. Boy, just remember that. Amen. If we could instill that in these young people, I'd like to instill that in your hearts. Just always remember, no matter where you are, what you're doing, what you're going through, God loves you. He's still God. And I don't care what the situation is, He can handle it. He can take care of it. If He can get three men out of a fiery furnace, He can take care of your problem. Amen. He can do that. So just remember that. So them are good scriptures to remember. Now verse 18 of Daniel, the third chapter. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. If you just notice here, he's not questioning God's ability to do what needs to be done. He just doesn't know what God's will is. He said, I'm just willing. They just said, we're willing to commit ourselves to the Lord. You know, most of the time we don't know what the will of God is in crises. There's crises come in our life and we don't always know what God's going to do. But if we'll just stand fast, just do what's right. And no matter what happens, just put it in the hands of God. It's not quite as direct today as it was back then. When I say that, the ecumenical movement here back then wanted them to fall down and worship the false gods. That's what they wanted. Now, that's not that quite direct yet in America. Now, we know it's coming one of these days over in the book of Revelation. We know that's coming. But today, they don't threaten our life if we don't worship with the ecumenical crowd. But let me say, the same principle is coming along and moving in that direction. Years ago, the Catholic crowd, let me say to you, if you wasn't a Catholic, you didn't do what they said to do years ago, you got your head cut off or you got killed anyway, one way or another back then. So I'm saying to you, that'll return one of these days. It's going to happen again. But you see these movements, the ecumenical movement that is going on in America today, and there's so many people who's just kind of leaning that direction. It just doesn't bother them to just kind of drop things a little bit, drop the banner a little bit, join in with those who don't believe. I've told you this before, but listen to me. You don't want to get hooked up with somebody who's a person who believes that baptism is part of your salvation. That's works. You know that as well as I do. You know those. You understand those kind of things. Why do I want to get mixed up with that kind of a person? Why would I want to fellowship with that kind of a person? No, no, no. You've got to remember, that's the ecumenical crowd that's trying to bring everybody together. You've got to stand fast. You just stand fast on the truth of the Word of God, no matter what happens. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They was not going to submit themselves to the false worship. And certainly they did not. What was they doing? They was just obeying God's Word. The Bible, God's Word just simply says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. And they was not going to do it. And the Bible also says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them or serve them. They just said, no, we're just going to walk with God. You know, God, it was very plain. They was not to bow down to an old image. And they said, no, we're not going to do it. They was just obeying God. Amen. That's what God wants us to do today. Now, I know the things are kind of clouded today because old Satan's learned he's not going to get a bunch of solid Christians to bow down at some image. Not yet. Now, that's going to happen in the tribulation period, but he ain't going to get them to do that. But he wants to bring a lot of things in and water everything down and water down the Bible, the Word of God, and water down the standards and the stand that people take on the Word of God. He wants to water all those things down and so that, you know, you get us ready. And I think that's what's happening. Oh, Satan's getting all this crew ready, you see, for the tribulation period one of these days. We ought not to be a part of that. I don't know whether you know it or not, but are you familiar with what Southwide Fellowship? Are most of you familiar with Southwide Fellowship? They've had meetings, you know, for years and years, and your pastor used to attend them. I used to go and enjoy the Southwide Fellowship. But let me tell you what's happening now. That's practically taken over by the Southern Baptists. There's many Southern Baptists in the Southwide Fellowship now, and they're on the platform preaching and doing things like that. I'm not going to be a party to that. And what I'm simply saying is because there's some good men in the Southern Baptists, but that's the way it always is. You see, there's some good men there, and they say, we want to stay in here and try to straighten it out. You're not going to straighten that whole thing out. You're just not going to do it. And you just need to learn to separate yourself.
Amen.
You see, I'm not going to go back to Southwide Fellowship. I won't be there. I hope they have a great meeting. I hope they honor God. I hope they do, but I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to do that. I've taken a stand a long time ago. I'm just going to stand for right, and I'm going to stand for the people who stand for right. I'm going to be on that crowd and be with that crowd, and that's the way I'm going to be. Amen. So we just need to understand that there's always out there trying to enter into these organizations and things like that to make them different than what they used to be. The old Dr. Lee Robinson was one of them that helped found the Southwide Fellowship. He helped found that. And a great, great man of God. And now they went a different direction. Old Dr. Lee's not saying much about it, though. Dr. Lee just don't say much about it. Maybe he's too old. I don't know, you know. He's 95, something like this. I don't know. Maybe he's tired fighting. You know, you can get tired fighting. You just get tired fighting. And he may be the place where he's just tired fighting. But he's the one that helped found that thing, you see. So anyway, just stay fast, stay steadfast in the faith, and don't enter into these things. Now, in chapter 3, verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnaces one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. He was a mad man. I mean, he got mad because they would not bow down. He said, heat the furnaces up seven times hotter than it was. Wow. And he says, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and they're cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because of the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Well, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astoned and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. There he was. That's God being with you in all those fiery furnaces, you see. And you know, there's some types in this story that I just want to share with you a few of them that'll help you to understand, because this thing is going to mushroom. This thing is going to come to an end here in the book of Revelation. Old Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the Antichrist. He's the one that forced this ecumenical movement here. You're going to bow down to one image. You're going to bow down to this false god. Everybody is going to do it. He gathered everybody from all of his providences and brought them there. And he's a type of the Antichrist. You see, I think you probably know this, but this is going to take place somewhere on earth here in the near future. I know I'm not a prophet, but I think it's soon to come. And old Antichrist is going to rise up, and he's going to cause all the worship to be directed toward him. Amen. And that old beast, that false prophet, is going to help him. So he's a type of the Antichrist. Over in Revelation, the 13th chapter of Revelation, I'm just going to start reading at verse number 11 for the sake of time. But you're familiar with this portion of scripture in Revelation 13. But he says, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast. The first beast is told us in the first part of Revelation 13. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, if you notice there, you see an image set up here. They made an image. Over in Matthew, the 24th chapter of Matthew, it talks about this image being set up. It's called the abomination of desolation. It's what Daniel spoke about on over here. But we're told this in the book of Matthew. And it's going to be set up there in the temple that's going to be built. He's going to set himself up. The Antichrist is going to set himself up as God. He's going to announce that he is God. And there's going to be a great image made, just like was made back here. As we said here, Nebuchadnezzar was a type of the Antichrist. I believe that is correct. He says in verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. You see, that's the same principle they was using back here in the image. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you do not worship, if you do not fall down and worship, you're going to be killed. We're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. So it's the same, very same thing that's coming. It's a warning to those during the tribulation period of what's going to happen. You don't want anybody to go through that tribulation period. Believe me, you don't want it. You say, Brother Ross, what should I do? Win souls. Amen. That's what you should do. Because the tribulation period is coming. It's coming, I believe, soon. I don't know how we can say when, but I believe it's coming soon. I don't believe it's too far off. And folks, listen to me. Folks right here today, alive today in Jasonville, Indiana, could go through the tribulation period if they don't get saved. You understand that. And that image will be set up, as it said here, that they should be killed if they don't worship it. Then if you'll notice, he says, and he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Herein is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now you notice here, and I'm sure you're familiar with that. Most of you have heard preaching in this Revelation. You've read it yourself. But do you understand that there's a day coming when there's going to be a mark given, either in the forehead or in the right hand? And that mark is going to be the old mark of the beast. And during the Antichrist's reign, during the tribulation period, you won't be able to buy anything or sell anything whatsoever unless you got that mark. Now, over in, I think it's in chapter 14, we're told that if you have that mark, your soul is doomed. You see, now understand something. Now, you just kind of, people can just take this and pass it off, but this is serious business. I mean, you won't be able to buy a morsel of bread. You won't be able to buy food to eat unless you take the mark. Now, are you going to take the mark? Those folk that are around, I think they will. If you don't, according to the scripture, and I want to clarify this, according to the scripture, if you don't, you're going to be killed if you don't take the mark. But listen to me. You say, well, I'll wait till after the rapture, and then I'll quit, and I won't take the mark. That's very foolish. You go into 2 Thessalonians, and you read 2 Thessalonians, you'll find out in the second chapter, those who were deceived and believed not, they'll be sent strong delusions that they believe a lie. See, the problem with this thing that you're saying is, I'm just going to put it off. I'm just going to wait. No, you won't. You'll be sent delusions. You've heard the gospel. You've heard the truth of the word of God, and you've refused it. You've said no to it. So if the rapture would come tonight, right now tonight, and you'd be left, folks, I'm afraid you'd be doomed for all eternity, because you'll be sent delusions. You'll believe a lie. You won't believe the truth. You've already rejected it. What you need to do, you need to get saved. You need to put your faith and trust in Christ. Right now, you need to ask Jesus Christ to save you and give you eternal life. You need to do that. Now, no one can make you do that, but the smartest thing you could ever do is get saved. You ought to get saved right now. I mean, you ought to get saved right now. You ought to call upon Christ and ask him to save you. We'd stop the services for you if you want to. If you want to get saved, we'd let you come and receive Christ and give yourself to the Lord. Call upon him and ask him to save you, because this isn't funny business. This is not funny business. All this is in Daniel here is a picture of what's going to happen over here in the book of Revelation. You see, and so that image is going to be set up. If you do not receive the mark of the beast, if you refuse it, you'll be killed. You'll be killed. You say, well, I'll have enough about me to refuse it. No, you won't. You'll be sent strong delusions. And I'm not going to go into all that, but I know the 144,000 get saved, and they go preaching the word of God, and there's a lot of people saved during the tribulation period, but I don't believe it's people who heard the gospel before. There's multitudes and multitudes out there that's never heard the gospel. They know nothing about it. In America, we're blessed. Most folk have heard it. Not everybody, but most folk has heard it. You ought to get saved. You ought to ask Christ to save you, give you eternal life. Well, what's the fiery furnace a type of? Fiery furnace is a type of the tribulation period. When he said that it was heated seven times hotter, the tribulation period is a seven-year period after the rapture of the church that'll be more terrible than it's ever been upon the face of the earth. You and I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. If you want to get a picture of it, read in Book Revelation the 6th chapter through the 19th chapter, and you'll find in that contained the tribulation period, the 7 years of tribulation. Some of the horriblest things that you've ever heard of is going to happen during that time. It's a fiery furnace. I mean, seven times hotter than it's ever been. You think it's been bad on earth at times? We've seen nothing. It's going to be a horrible thing. So I'm saying to you, listen, that ought to do one of two things. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. If you are saved, you ought to get other people saved. You ought to not quit trying to get people saved. You ought to be giving out tracts. You ought to be witnessing to people, telling people about Jesus, going on soul winning. You ought to do this. Why? Because the tribulation period is coming, and you don't want anybody to go through that. Amen? No, you really don't. I mean, you can't imagine the horribleness of this thing. But it's going to be a horrible time upon the earth. You find in those chapters that I mentioned to you, you find the seals and the trumpets and the vials that's going to be poured out, seven of each, poured out upon the earth. Horrible, horrible time of tribulation. So let's do everything we can to get folks saved. Now, the three Hebrew children, what was they a type of? Well, they were a type of Israel that was preserved through the tribulation period. You see, Israel, there's going to be 144,000 there, certainly sealed, and they'll be preaching. Israel will be preserved through the tribulation period. They'll be taken in a special place, and they'll be hid in a special place for 3.5 years, and God will preserve them there. You see, and this is a type. These three children are a type of those who went through the tribulation period. You see, this fiery furnace and survived. Okay, so that's what that's all about. Now, the ones who died throwing them into the furnace, you remember it said that it was so hot, the ones that picked them up and threw them into the furnace died. Well, I just want to share something with you. I want to give you a couple of scriptures here and to encourage you. I want to go back to are we in the book of Revelation? Yes, chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. You see, that is a picture. Those who died trying to throw the three Hebrew children into the furnace is a picture of those who have done everything they can to try to destroy the Jews and destroy those Christians during the tribulation period. They're going to die. The false prophet and the beast, the Antichrist, is going to die and be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. That fire won't stop when the furnace fire did and kind of cooled down. This one will never cool down. Amen. This here beast and false prophet will be there forever and ever and ever. And then let me show you something else. Look at Revelation 20. verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now the old devil gets his due. And he's cast into that same lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. That devil who has tried to deceive people and has done a great job at it. Deceive multitudes of people across this world. They will not get saved. No, they'll just reject Christ and not believe that all this is going to happen. One of these days they too will be cast into the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone. How foolish, how silly. Amen. You ought to get saved. You ought to trust Christ. You ought to put your faith and trust in Jesus, because this day is coming. Amen. Now you say, Brother Ross, that's a long way off. No, listen to me. If Jesus would come right now, tribulation period's going to start. Right. See, and Jesus could come right now. There's nothing to stop him. Right. Absolutely nothing. Jesus Christ could come before I say another word. Right. I don't know when he's coming, but he's coming. And we need to realize that. We need to understand. If you don't want to go through all this, you better get saved. You better put your faith and trust in Christ. Amen? Wouldn't that be the wise thing to do? Sure it would. And at the same time, let us do everything we can to see to it that people get saved, that we give the gospel of Christ. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like for we Christians going to stand before Jesus Christ one of these days and say, we never witnessed. We never witnessed. No, I'm sorry. We just didn't witness, Lord. You know me. I'm kind of I'm sure he's going to say, oh, that's okay, honey. Of course he isn't. Of course he isn't. It's going to be a shameful thing to stand before the Lord having never witnessed for Jesus Christ. Never tried to get anybody saved. That's a terrible. I was just looking at Ron Allen. They had one saved in the jail. Him and Dave Liffick had one saved in the jail last evening, I believe it was, there in Brazil at the jail. Praise God. Praise, had two saved on youth visitation tonight. Praise God. Thank God for that. You see, that's what you can do. But you won't get anybody saved if you don't go. You know that. Amen? Do we know that? Sure. Well, you see, this day is coming. And Daniel warned about it. He opened up, and I believe the book of Daniel is opened up by the book of Revelation and vice versa. It all goes together. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. And God has opened up so many things for us in these last days, telling us, warning us these things are going to take place. So I just say, don't you think it's time we got busy? Amen. Do everything you can, folks. Everything you can to get people saved. Amen. And if you're not saved, tonight would be a great night to just come and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you'll be saved from all this mess that's going to take place in the tribulation period. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. You say, Brother Ross, I'm here and I'm not saved tonight. I'm not born again. I'm not saved. But I'm concerned about it. I just wish you'd pray for me. Promise you, I won't call your name out. I won't come get you. I won't do any of those things. But you just say, by the lifting of the hand, I wish you'd just pray for me. Just pray for me, Brother Ross. Is there anyone here like that tonight? Say, Brother Ross, will you just pray for me? I'm not saved, and I need to be saved. Will you just pray for me? Anyone here tonight like that? Say, Brother Ross, I just want you to pray for me. Anyone? Father, again tonight, I want to thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, and I trust that tonight you've helped us a little bit to understand the seriousness of the hour we live in. And Father, help us to be what we ought to be, please. Please, Father, help us to be soul winners. Help us to be witnesses for you, to let people know the seriousness of this hour that we live in. And Lord, help us to stand fast and not be taken in with the ecumenical movement and all of these apostasy and all these things that's going on. Help us, God, to just stand fast, be what we ought to be. And Lord, we need your strength and help to do that. We don't know what the future is, but we'd sure like to be like these three children here, Hebrew children. We don't know what it holds, but we just know one thing. We're not going to worship false gods. We're just going to love you and walk with you and do the best we can to serve you and bring people to Christ. So you help us to do that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.